Buck. I see a stampede of reporters trampling each other on the way to the cancellation story on Monday. Did you see the same thing?
Premature cancellation, I think, happened, right? Premature postponement.
That's right.
Any of those things, we don't have medicine for that, so I can't really help those folks. No, Bill, I mean, here's the thing. I want safety as much as everybody else, but I also think we have to have some patience, and I think we're going to see who in leadership can show that patience. You know, Greg Sankey, I said it before, that, you know, what we kind of do is we kind of, like, get on people in the moment. Like, oh, they did a great job. But I really think that if this is done right, we're going to come out on the other side, hopefully, where there's, you know, where people get through it and they're safe, and we're able to have college football in some form or capacity, because it seems like there's a movement of they want to play. Players want to play. Coaches want to play. ADs. Now the presidents and the commissioners, I don't know. And that's where we're getting this chasm of folks. The medical folks are giving them the information. Are they going to use it in the right way? And are they going to use it in a timely fashion? I think the SEC has always said, let's push this back and be patient. And then the ACC came along. The other conferences kind of follow suit. It's just interesting to me to see what they're going to do, because if you, quite honestly, if you have a COVID diagnosis, you should get an echo or EKG. They're going to do that anyway, right? They're going to test to see if there are any changes of your heart, and then you shouldn't play. Heat-related things, I don't know what that does with COVID. We don't know. So for anybody to say, we got to cancel season, no, I think there's some patience that has to happen. Now, am I confident it's going to happen and go off without a hitch? Hey, man, I don't know. I hope so. But I also know, don't be disingenuous if you're any of these folks that are in the positions of power to tell us it's about player safety, because it ain't about player safety. It's about not getting sued and the money that you can either gain or lose. And I think if we come from that basis, and you and I have talked about this from the beginning, and I'll stay clear on that, until we know that for sure, then we can go. And it seems like the players are saying, hey, if this is going to be a change also, where I think you're going to either have a super conference or super conferences, and then you also will have players that say, hey, look, we decided to play. Don't make us sign a waiver. Give us our name, image, and likeness, and let's go from there. And now the Pac-12, those kids are talking about 50% of the revenue. They're crazy. Other things they ask for, I say, okay, yeah, I'm okay with it. And I can see why Larry Scott might say, did you guys really look at these demands? And then to go from there, there's so many different facets of this thing right now that we see playing out. And you and I talked about this about 6 weeks ago. Once it got closer and closer to time, there was going to be some panic. And we're seeing people panic as opposed to be cautious, be patient, and make decisions in the moment as opposed to being reactive and instead of proactive.
Tell you what. When we look back, Buck, a couple of years, and we're revisiting this crazy period, will we circle Trevor Lawrence as maybe the player, at least the original player hero?
I have to give him a lot of prop. Joe Burrow was the first one to speak out at the NFL level, and I said kudos to Joe. Because, Bill, we've been doing it in locker rooms for years. Let's not get this twisted. We've been doing it in locker rooms for years. As a black player, you look to those quarterbacks who are usually white. Now we're seeing more black quarterbacks. I'm going to call it like I see it. Is this guy down with me, or is he only going to play on the field with me and then we have nothing else in common? Trevor Lawrence went to things, and he's been the conduit for guys, and he said it from the very beginning. Hey, he's also said, look, guys want to play, and these are what my guys are saying. He's been a leader in this situation, and I think we're seeing him. And then he and Justin Fields have started this movement of, like, hey, we want to play. Let's do everything we can to make it as safe as we can. And if it doesn't happen, then we can take a step back. But we've trained. We've done this. And I think those two young men from Georgia who have been in the battles against each other, Trevor took the lead first. Now Justin Fields is coming. I love that, because you got to have quarterbacks. You can have everybody else on your team. You can be an offensive lineman with the voice. You can be a safety with the voice. You can be a tight end. You can be a linebacker. But if you're not the QB, if you're not the golden boy, not meaning white golden boy, I just mean the golden boy that everybody looks at, people don't really care. And you're starting to see those guys speak up and speak out. And I agree with you. I think that's what you got to have in things like this. He also did what I thought was unique is going to the other conferences and saying, hey, how can we unite on this about playing as opposed to the off-the-field stuff? And I think those are things that you look at from a leader. His stock, to me, Bill, has gone up tremendously. And I think it's because of the things off the field. He's got to work on not throwing the ball too high, got to do some of those things. But I have heard from the very beginning and talking to those coaches, I can remember my first conversation with Jeff Scott. He said, Buck, this kid gets it. He said he gets it. From day one he came in here, he's willing to work. He's willing to do every dirty thing that we ask him to do. And when he gets on the field, he's going to be a first-round draft pick. And you can see that coming to fruition.
This talk from coaches yesterday, couple of coaches, Frost was probably the most demonstrative. Ryan Day said it as well. Hey, if our league doesn't play, we'll make other arrangements. And again, I don't have the boilerplate legalese agreement, league agreement in front of me. But is that even do? If the Big Ten ultimately announces we're not going to play, is there a way legally Ohio State and or Nebraska or whoever wants to play could join a one-year super conference?
You know, I'm curious, Bill, because I don't know, but I'm assuming since they're putting it out there that there's some kind of way they can do it, because you hear Scott Frost, James Franklin, Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh, who people love or hate, Jim I played with in Indy, speaking out about the kids wanting to play, and you and Jim, you know, Jim, what, lost the recruit because he wore cleats in the house of the guy that he was recruiting, the offensive lineman. So
yes,
that doesn't shock me. But I think it's something that where Notre Dame has, I think what we have to look at is this year as saying, okay, we got to think totally different than we have about college football and about how these matchups are going to play. Because not only that, from the FBS, I mean, not from the FBS, but from those smaller, like the group of five schools. Think about some of those. We haven't heard much because we spent so much time talking about the big boys, right? But I think some of those group of five schools, maybe a University of Houston, maybe, there's just UCF. There's other schools that are saying, look, we want to play, and if we are allowed to play, where can we fill in the gaps? So we'll have an opportunity, A, to play and show you that we can play with the big boys, and B, that we can be involved in a season that's going to be unlike any other. This season is going to be totally different, whether it's 30 teams that play, whether it's 60 teams that start. And when I say play, I don't know if they'll finish, but if they'll start, because they're going to start. It seems like there's a movement, unless something just catastrophic happens, that they'll start. And I've talked about this. If they find that they can create some kind of bubble, you know, some kind of place where they, with the kids on campus, because schools are saying they're going to start, right, Bill? Yeah. But I really think by the time the kids get back to campus, the young people get to campus, they're going to really go to online. So you still have somewhat of a bubble because people are in those environments, but they're still not out going to classes every day. I mean, I heard a college is going to do three classes online and then two that are social distance. So I don't know if that's going to work across the country. But I do know is if they can create their own kind of bubble, these super conferences may have a place. And to answer your question, since Notre Dame is doing it, there has to be some legal ramifications and some ways to do it with the TV contracts. Because I can only imagine that Fox, ESPN, and all of these other major networks are saying, look, we may have to rethink how we're doing our contracts because we have this six-year agreement in place with Conference X. But Conference X doesn't really exist the way we thought it would this year. So how do we move to that? And I think that's what's going to be so unique, and I think that's why the Big Ten started like they were going to go down that path and pull back. Now, will they go and continue? I don't know. Will the Pac-12? I don't know. But it sounds like schools in these conferences, I'm just saying SC is one. I'm just using SC, is going to say, do we really want to not play this year as a private university? Stanford, do we really not want to play and maybe have a chance to compete in those in that other conference? Or if you're Penn State, do we want to sit out? Or Nebraska has said it really clear. I don't think we want to sit out. We want to play if football is played. So to answer your question, we're going to see, and that's going to come out in the next few days as to whether that happens. And this year could be one of those years where we've seen some things that we never thought we'd see in college football, but it would give us a whole new perspective on it.
Yeah, Isaiah Wilson says that Harbaugh came in his house with cleats on, and that's one of the big reasons he chose Georgia. Now he's a Tennessee Titan and just got drafted by the Titans. But, yeah, I got another one for you, Buck, and I can't remember. It's a baseball name, and I think it's a pretty famous name. But I was told this baseball coach went to interview at a college somewhere in the South, and I don't. It's a story so long ago I can't even remember the school. And he met with the AD, and everything went well. But he was wearing cowboy boots. So the AD took him to meet the president. When they got to the president's office, the coach literally sat down, Buck, and put his boots up on the desk.
Well, I know in Texas you wear cowboy boots with everything, and you may even wear a cowboy hat. And I remember growing up, and I'd wear, you know, the first time I got a suit, I had on cowboy boots, and people looked at me crazy. And I said, look, that's what we do at home. So, but to put them on the desk, that's a little bit disrespectful until it's your desk, I think.
Now, I don't know if he had spurs on him at the time, but he had cowboy boots. I do know that.
Oh, man. No, I've seen some crazy things, and, you know, it's crazy. But that's the normal wear down at home, right? When you go to Texas, I think you see people in cowboy boots all the time, and if you don't wear them, you get accustomed to seeing them, and you probably get used to it. Now, they make them so comfortable now too that if you get them made for yourself, you'll like them and you'll wear them for a lifetime.
Buck, we will see you next week, sir. God knows between now and then what happens, but I'll see you next Tuesday.
Hey, Bill, at least we got a chance to talk about a little bit other things. And then also, too, I got a podcast, Chopping It Up with Buck. Just tell your folks to go check it out on Facebook or wherever they get their podcast. We have a good time. We got Maria Taylor this week. So
I saw that clip with her talking about her mistake in that game. That was good.
Yeah. Hey, man, I've known her since she came to ESPN when she was at the SEC Network. Just good people. But really, some good conversation, too, about what's going on in the world and then her whole thing with the NBA. And we didn't catch up on the bubble because she hadn't quite got there yet. But we'll do a redo on that so we can find that out. That seems to be real fun. And they seem to be having some success with it.
Good stuff, Buck. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care, Bill.